Chapter 23. Determined. Robert didn't get much sleep that night. He stared at the Alf, Garfield, and Muppets posters on his walls and wondered why they were still there. It was like he was suspended in animation at 8 years old. But that was 5 long years ago. Too much had happened. Yet not enough within him had changed. He was still obsessed with his past, still stuck with the same feelings, and most of all, still thinking about Danny. Sometimes he feared he wasn't truly honoring his brother with memories of him, but rather, his memories of his memories until, like a faded photograph, his brother's true identity would simply disappear over time. Robert thought about the final night he saw Danny. He had dreamed about being a Ghostbuster, and was wearing Star Wars pajamas. They weren't much different from the childish signifiers adorning his room. Robert wondered if he was going to stay stuck being a kid forever, embalmed in pre-adolescence for eternity like some museum curio. Just then, a shaft of light pierced one of the slats in his window shutters, illuminating a small corner of the room where his helmet lay. The sun was starting to rise, and Robert thought if this wasn't a sign, he didn't know what would be. He also thought about America and the American dream. Mounting Danger Peak was his dream, and as the patriotic song America the Beautiful swelled in his mind, he realized he couldn't quit now. He had come too far. He had to do it. For his club, for his town, for Danny. And if nothing else, for the Mondo cash that Rennie was always crowing about. Most importantly, he had to conquer the mountain that had conquered his brother. Robert again looked at his bike helmet in the corner, now fully aglow in the sunlight, with an almost supernatural luminescence. He then turned to gaze at his desk drawer, where his walkie-talkie hid inside. Robert gritted his teeth. It was time. Immediately, he changed out of his sweatpants into a long-sleeved Robotech shirt and blue jeans. He then strapped on his safety helmet and placed the walkie-talkie in his back pocket. Next, he opened his bedroom window that faced the backyard. Normally, he would wear a coat, but he didn't want to risk waking his parents by creeping downstairs to retrieve it. Using his house's drainpipe like a fireman's pole, he slid down slowly onto the soft grass below. Finally, he shuffled his Reeboks across the lawn to his shed, and then he opened it to reveal his prized possession, the action bike. Though he was still supposed to be sleeping, Rennie had set his alarm early so he could try beating his high score before school on a course he created in the 8-bit Nintendo game, Excitebike. Keeping the volume low on his large, boxy TV set, and hiding himself underneath the covers in his bed, his thumbs frantically pressed the A and B buttons and sleek crosspad on the rectangular black and gray controller. Similar to a bowler performing a good luck dance after rolling the ball down the lane, he even twisted his arms in wildly exaggerated movements, hoping this would improve his game. Just as his tiny motocross man on the screen was about to scale the giant pyramid he had constructed on the course, there was a knock on his door.
"Rennie, go back to sleep," his mother called. "You have to get up for school in less than an hour."
Rennie rolled his eyes, wondering if his mom possessed the hearing of Superman.
"Oh, Mom," he whined. "Do I have to?"
His mom suddenly chose to go to DEFCON 1.
"Turn the game off now, or I'll wake your father and have him do it for you."
Rennie's mom knew how frightened he was of his old man, even more so than of Vinny and the other bullies at school. Nothing more needed to be said.
"Okay, okay,"
Rennie surrendered and got up to switch off his game and TV.
"I'll never get past this course,"
he muttered bitterly under his breath. But instead of going directly to bed, he retrieved his pocket Game Boy from his nightstand. Sliding in a cartridge of Tetris, he switched the game on and curled up in bed. This time, keeping the game's volume, which usually blasted a traditional Russian folk song, all the way down, so not even his mom's super-sensitive ears could detect it. As he maneuvered the game's spinach-colored puzzle blocks into position, he was interrupted once more. This time, the disturbance came from his desk drawer across the room.
"Rennie, Rennie, are you there?"
It was Robert, calling from his walkie-talkie. Instinctively, Rennie switched his game off and rushed over to the drawer to answer the call before it alerted his mother again.
"Robert?" he asked into the speaker part of the device. "What are you doing up so early? And how are you able to reach me? You must be in close range."
"I am,"
Robert said.
"Look outside your window."
Rennie lifted his window shade and saw Robert on his walkie-talkie sitting on his bike in the driveway. Rennie panicked.
"Rob,"
he began, shutting the shade once more.
"What are you doing? My dad's going to be leaving for work soon, and if he catches you...
He's not,
Robert interrupted.
Not if you come outside now.
What? Rennie asked, dumbfounded. You've got to be crazy. It's 6 a.m. Why would I do that? Though Rennie couldn't see it, Robert gave an easy smile.
Because I'm going to climb Danger Peak.
Rennie blinked rapidly, as if a flashlight had been shown in his eyes. Based on the resolve in Robert's voice, he knew his friend wasn't joking, and that he couldn't change his mind. I'm coming down now, he said.
Great,
Robert replied.
I know your bike's still in the shop, so you can ride with me. And don't forget your walkie-talkie.
Got it, Rennie said. Over and out. With that, he switched off his device and headed for his bedroom door. Passing by his wall-length mirror in the shape of a giant Swatch watch, he caught a glimpse of himself and swallowed hard. I can't believe we're actually going to do this. Similar to Robert, Chris had been tossing and turning all night. It was unusually warm that October evening, and his bedsheets were soaked with sweat. He thought he may have been coming down with a fever, but he knew it was what was on his mind that was truly burning him up. Scaling Danger Peak had been Robert's obsession all along, and Chris had even teased him about it. But over the past week, through their many trials and misadventures, it had become something of a fascination for him as well. Every time their club had made advancement to their bike, there was another setback, and it seemed, with all the trouble from their teachers, parents, and even the cops, when it came to completing their dream, it was either now or never. To set his mind at ease, Chris grabbed a remote and turned on his small rabbit-eared television set in the corner of his room. But the images that first flickered on the screen were far from comforting. An early morning rerun of a hard-hitting magazine news show was highlighting protests outside the Berlin Wall. People on the east side of the concrete barrier were trying to join friends and loved ones on the other side of the divide, but armed guards blocked their attempted reunion. In the back of his mind, almost subconsciously, Chris thought about his club's own struggles. Chris flipped on MTV. Billy Joel was singing behind a table that had been set on fire. He then switched the TV off when his walkie-talkie lit up on his nightstand, like a ghost in the machine.
Hello, Chris?
A voice asked.
Are you up?
Chris didn't need to ask who it was, or even what he wanted. He'd been best friends with Robert since kindergarten, and at this point, they were almost psychically linked. He grabbed the communicator without thinking. Let's do this, he said.